afternoon, and welcome to the 21st Century Holding Company's first quarter financial results conference call. My name is Amy, and I will be your operator today. Please note that today's call is being recorded. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question at that time, please press star then one. Please limit your questions to allow others time to ask as well. You may enter the queue again if you have additional questions. Statements in this conference call that are not historical fact are forward-looking statements. Without limiting the generality of the foregoing, words such as may, will, expect, believe, anticipate, intend, could, would, estimate, or continue, or the negative other variations thereof, or comparable terminology are intended to identify forward-looking statements. The matters discussed on this call that are forward-looking statements are based on current management expectations involving risks and uncertainties that may result in these expectations not being realized. Actual events, outcomes, and results may differ materially from what is expressed or forecasted in forward-looking statements made on this call due to numerous risks and uncertainties, including but not limited to the risks and uncertainties described in this conference call, our press release issued today, and other filings made by the company with. Forward-looking statements made during this presentation speak only as of the date on which they are made, and 21st Century Holding Company specifically disclaims any obligation to update or any forward-looking statement to reflect new information, future events or circumstances, or otherwise. Now, at this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Michael Braun, Chief Executive Officer and President of 21st Century Holding Company. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us to discuss 21st Century Holding Company's first quarter 2012 financial results. I'm joined on the call by Pete Przelski, our Chief Financial Officer. Our financial results for the quarter can be found in our earnings press release. I will go over some brief highlights from the quarter, and then Pete and I will open up the lines for questions. First quarter net income was $1.1 million, or 13 cents per share. Earnings from insurance operations improved to 13 cents per share for the first quarter 2012, compared with 8 cents per share for the fourth quarter 2011, and versus a loss of 25 cents per share in the first quarter of 2011. Book value increased to $7.61 per share, compared with $7.32 per share in the prior quarter, and $7.09 per share in the first quarter of 2011. Gross written premiums increased by $4.2 million, or 15.2%, compared with the same three-month period last year. Continued improvement of the underwriting results. Our loss ratio improved to 44.7% for the first quarter 2012, compared with 75.8% for the first quarter 2011. With that, we are glad to open up the call to your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Again, to ask a question at this time, please press star then one. Our first question comes from Douglas Ruth of Lenox Financial Services. Your line is open.
Congratulations, Mike and Pete, on a very nice report. I have a few questions for you. I was wondering if you could tell us why you feel the book of business is better today than it was a year ago.
Good afternoon, Doug. The book of business continues to have significant improvements. And what's different about the book today is that everything that we've been writing in the business for the last couple of years, we've improved our analytics to ensure that profitable policies are coming in. Policies that were in our book of business can become unprofitable for different reasons as we model them. And we've had a fairly robust process of non-renewals over the last couple of years. Those non-renewals have been negated by new business that's come in, but in 2010, that premium that was non-renewed, which is substantial. 2011, it was another $12 million. And this year, it's about $8 million. And really, we see the non-renewals slowing significantly. There'll always be some non-renewals, but I would say they'd be pretty much immaterial after 2012. New business has replaced that, so the book has appeared to be fairly stagnant over the last 2 to 3 years, but it has changed considerably. And now what we're also seeing is that the volume is increasing significantly, where we've been around 44 to 45,000 policies, we're up at about 49,000 policies. So we continue to see great demand for our product, but we remain committed to the discipline of only writing those policies that we know are accretive to our book of business.
That sounds wonderful. And can you give us an update as far as what's happening with the reinsurance and the reinsurance cost?
Yeah, absolutely. I said on the last call that we anticipated our reinsurance spend to be approximately $40 million. We stand by that at this point. While we won't know until we truly purchase it, which happens from now up until July 1, it looks favorable. There's two things. All of the incumbents on our program have expressed interest to stay on the program. We believe that the pricing will be stable. And on the last call when I said that $40 million, I think it'll be around $40 million. Last year's program at today's prices, meaning the change primarily in the FHCF, that's the cover that we get from the state. Had we had that same program this year, it would have been about a $44 million spend. So the reason why it's staying flat as opposed to increasing is because, once again, we knew where the FHCF was heading generally because of the tickle layer contracting, the tickle layer, which is TICL, which is the temporary increased layer. We knew that was coming through. So those policies that were profitable when that was available, in many cases they became unprofitable. So we continue to move in that direction. So in terms of the reinsurance, I think we're in very good shape in that regard.
That sounds wonderful. And could you talk about the status of what's happening with Citizens?
Yeah, Citizens has about 1.5 or 1.6 million policies. I think word of Citizens has become much more aggressive in containing the growth. I've seen numbers that they're trying to get it down to about half that size, specifically where they're trying to shed around 678,000 policies. There's different ideas. Currently, there's an idea out there to, I should say there's something where they're waiving off on a ceding commission that was recently enacted by Citizens. But there's some other ideas as well to create incentive for the private carriers in the state to go ahead and take some policies. But even if policies aren't taken out of Citizens, I think the marketplace has changed a bit as well, because Citizens' prices, theirs continues to go up just like everyone else. And also, what we're seeing is they're truly making some big changes to become a residual market, the market of last resort as it was designed to be. They've recently enacted where to go into Citizens, you have to show that proof that you don't have a voluntary offer that's no more than 15% in price. That's something new that used to be in place years ago. So that really creates a demand for the voluntary market.
And do you believe that your company will pick up some of the market share from Citizens now?
Absolutely. Once again, our volume of quoting has risen dramatically. And I would also say that in the last 60 days, we're seeing premium coming in ahead of plan. So I see no reason why that would slow down. And once again, it's quality business. I would expect that to stabilize at this higher level. There's always moving elements in the marketplace, but things have moved favorably for us in the market.
Okay, I have two more questions. What is the status of your commercial general liability insurance at this point?
The commercial general liability is a program that used to be written through general agents. We brought that in-house for the most part, gradually from 2009 till 2012, and now over 90% of it is what we call direct to retail, and that's where we underwrite it versus the general agents. When that program was bigger, some problems came into that program. Bringing it in-house and shrinking it, it's improved significantly. Where that program was really a loss in LAE in excess of 80%, it's hovering around 60%, and I think it's performing very well.
That sounds encouraging. With three quarters now of profitability, Is there talk about either starting to pay a cash dividend or consider a stock buyback?
Well, absolutely. There, every board meeting that we have, that is discussed, and we have to look at the needs of the capital within the insurance company and then within the holding company, and also the desire to give a return back to our shareholders. So I can tell you that a robust conversation did occur, and this most recent board meeting, we have not declared a dividend. But once again, we continue to look at the opportunity of utilizing the capital effectively in the company, and we're on that side at this point. We know the board knows that there's a strong desire for a dividend, and I believe that will come at some point. I just can't tell you specifically, but you've mentioned on a few calls, and I know it's important to you, and I know it's important to other shareholders, so we do continue to balance that between the two. It's important that we have the capital and we use it wisely, but also any capital that we can return to our shareholders, we know is what our shareholders want.
Okay. We've done a wonderful job, and thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you for the questions, Doug.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from William Myers of Miller Asset Management. Your line is open.
Hi, and also congratulations on the quarter.
Thank you, Aaron.
And that was a great set of questions from the previous analyst. I'd like to follow up on the last question and just see if it's possible to get any color or if you could help us understand how much of your cash is really required through because of state regulations that you really have to keep it against possible future payments. And how do you... just a little color on how the without telling us when you'll make the decision on how the decision might be made. What are some of the variables that go into that decision? If you don't mind.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think Pete can give you better numbers on that. But generally speaking, there's two different types of capital that we have: statutory capital and free capital. The statutory is within the holding. Is it within the insurance company, and it's fairly restricted. And currently. That's where the majority of the capital is. Outside of that is capital in the holding company, whether it's through the MGA or agency or the adjusting company, that would be available for dividend. One of the items that we've looked at is to have a captive in-house. And what I mean by a captive is some of the others in the marketplace, they're able to retain a lot more risk and issue a special dividend at the end of the storm season, assuming there's been no storms. So where we're paying on some of our lower layers of our reinsurance program, let's just say 50 to 60% rate on line for some of those covers, our competitors are unable to retain that and upon completion of the storm season do a special dividend. So we're looking at that as an idea that would require capital. There's some other strategic initiatives that we're looking at that would require some capital, so it is a balancing act. In terms of the actual amounts, like I said, the vast majority of the capital that we have is statutory capital, which would not be available for options without the OIR's approval, but capital outside the insurance company would be.
Okay, that was really helpful, and I appreciate your taking my question.
Thank you.
Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. To ask a question, please press star and then one at this time. I'm not showing any additional questions in queue, sir.
All right. Well, thank you very much for everyone that has dialed in, and also specifically to Doug and William for the questions. Just one other note that I want to put out there is that we are actually looking to change the name 21st Century Holding Company. That would be something that would be coming out in our proxy in the near future. We're looking at changing it to Federated National Holding Company. And the reason for that is that's how we conduct business for the most part. Not many people really know us as 21st Century Holding Company. So I think it just kind of clarifies a bit of our marketing initiatives and some of our branding. So that's something that will be coming out to shareholders in the near future. In terms of the marketplace, we continue to see great opportunities for writing business, yet we remain committed to being disciplined to writing good business. We've got great risk management, great underwriting, great marketing, great claims handling, a great company all the way around, and we're going to continue to operate in the best interest of our shareholders and policy owners. So thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation, and have a wonderful day. You may all disconnect.